I'd like to wholeheartedly disagree with you, Mac, because in my world, French fries are a meal.
Agreed. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love new outfits on the Eras Tour.
Yes! And how much it's being brought up.
I know.
What does it mean?
I'm Michael Ann, and with me, as always, is Bethany and her Dr. Pepper. Bethany, we've been out of here. We've been gone for 2 weeks.
I know.
What's life been like? Tell me.
We are so back. The Eras Tour is back. We are back recording, finally. I swear next year, y'all are going to be so much better at this. It was a year. What has life been like? Not much. Football, as per usual. Trying not to go too cray-cray. Very happy that the Eras Tour is back. Yeah. I feel like that's all I've got. A little bit of plumbing fiascos in my house, but that's fixed now, so that's good.
Excellent. We love that.
Yeah, we do. We do love that. How is you got to take a little? I was going to do that song. It's like, I think I'll go to Boston.
Oh my God, throwback.
Yeah, that is a throwback.
Boston was good. Got to hang out with my nieces and nephews. I went to a couple games. I went to a volleyball game.
She's a sporty girl.
I am. I went to a hockey game. I went to a field hockey game. That might have been my first ever field hockey game.
I can say, I think you've beat me. I've never done field hockey, but I also am not from the Northeast. I feel like that's way more of a Northeastern thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very good. My nieces are just like fucking rock stars, man, on the field. I'm like, how are we related? I don't know, but kill it. You're killing it. I didn't go to any of my nephew's games. Sorry, boys. Next trip.
Y'all are great at stuff too. We're really proud of you. Yes. But it was, you know, the girls' turn. Who runs the world?
Girls.
But yes, I got to see a couple of my nephew's baseball games. So that was I did it for us. I went and did the boy sports.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
While you're looking out for your nieces. And y'all truly haven't lived. Last weekend, technically it was a weekend that just passed. 2 weekends ago, our girl was back in Miami. I was headed down to Florida. I was passing Swifties with like fun little things written on their cards. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so jealous. I'm so happy for you. Have the best time. And there I was headed to my nephew's baseball game. So I did tell my nephew that I chose to come to his baseball game overseeing Taylor Swift. Is that a slight white lie? Yes. Is it actually that I couldn't afford to go see Taylor Swift in Miami? Yeah, it's more that. But I was like, you know, there are two places I could have been tonight, and I chose to come see you play baseball. And I think he took that as a high honor. And it was truly, yeah, you haven't lived until you've seen 9-year-olds play baseball, because he's in the age range where they finally get to pitch, and it's like a lot of walks and a lot of hit by pitch, basically. They're just hitting each other all the time. Not a lot of hits. It's entertaining. I'm like, what inning are we in? What's that? Because there's no scoreboard, and like the innings last forever, and like they really only let them play like 4 innings. It's great.
My niece is 6, I think, and I was very suburban mom, and I brought her to her softball game. Like, it's not really a game. They're a bunch of 6-year-old girls. So they just like break off into groups. One of them's practicing pitching. One of them's practicing throwing. No, wait, that's the same thing. Batting and pitching.
Oh, there you go. Nailed it.
And then they just do like a couple rounds where they like hit the ball a few times and run around the bases. And it was very, very cute. And my nephew came with us, and it's his sister. And he was like taking videos of her. Aww. So that she could like look at her form and like, oh, it was so cute.
That warms my heart. Oh my goodness.
So precious. I was like, aw, Hank.
That is the cutest thing. I love that.
So cute.
Aww. Well, everyone, before we get into the depressing but amazing novel that Saying Anything is, we'll be discussing chapters 6 and 7. Bear with us. We mostly remember what we read. So we'll see how that goes. No, it's going to be fun. It's fine. I refresh before. Fun. It's fine.
Same.
Mostly. I'm mostly refreshed before it's time. But before we do, we can't wait till Chaos to discuss, obviously, the fact that the Eras Tour is back. And obviously, I hope all of you thought of us fondly when Taylor Allison Swift finally walked out in a new mother effing reputation outfit.
Yep.
Because when I tell you.
I was like in deep denial. I was watching the live stream, obviously. And she walks out and I'm like, nope, it's the same. It's not new. It's the same. It's just the lighting. It's the same. And then, like, literally, I had to have, like, four people message me and be like, it's gold. And then I finally was like, oh, my God, it's gold. It's new. It's new.
I was dying. I was dying. And she now has been wearing nothing but the gold one since she has premiered the golds, which does look fierce. There's been lots of new surprise song dresses. She keeps mentioning it. We're all trying to decode what that means. She's also been heavily hinting at debutation.
She has.
It's calling it. And lots of mashups between a debut song and a reputation song. What does it mean?
What does it all mean? What does it
Nobody all mean? Knows. But here's hoping that it means that we're getting some kind of news. Also in our break, the anthology being announced that it's finally on vinyl has been announced. I love how many people message me about that. That actually brings me joy. People just know that I'm sitting around waiting for this to be on vinyl. And you're right, I have.
I can't wait.
I cannot wait. I am going to be a crazy person who like wakes up and does the, I never go Black Friday shopping.
Me but either.
For Taylor Swift, I will. I'm getting the book. I'm getting the anthology. I'm going to go home and decorate for Christmas. Listening to the anthology because nothing says Christmas like that depressing album. I'm excited though. I can't wait to just jam out to Sponsor and Whoever Lived on vinyl. And I'm just, I also love everyone. Well, okay. A couple of things. One, ever since TTBD has released and people have been going to the Eras Tour, I love that someone always just dresses up in the white dress and like people write on it. That honestly is the most like a girlhood cathartic thing, and it truly gets me in my feelings every time. I love that New Orleans stepped it up and they just like made this entire like poster. I don't even know where the F this was. I don't know if this was like someone hung it up in the stadium. I don't know if someone hung it up in their hotel. I have no idea, but a giant ass poster and people could all just write a name on it. And I just like truly was maybe too hormonal this weekend. I'm just like, sister, I was really, really in my feelings about it. I love that apparently this is like the cleanest New Orleans has ever been. Like, thank you, fellow Swifties, for giving us such a great reputation. Speaking of reputations. So, yes, apparently New Orleans was like the most amazing, lovely, cleanest city that it's ever been this weekend. And I was like, yes, get it, girls. So we love that. We love that Swifties were out there just like being cutesy on Bourbon Street and like not being sloppy fools, apparently. So that's excellent. And I also love that the stadium just like put a massive friendship bracelet on it.
Yes.
That is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And now I feel gypped that like no one else has done that. I'm like, okay, New Orleans, I see you stepping up the game. And all the like little nods to, of course, like that's where the Super Bowl is going to be had. And there's lots of like football references from Miss Swift this weekend for her boy. And I was just like, I loved it. It was great.
I didn't catch a single one of those, but that's no surprise to anyone, I'm sure.
She did it twice. I think New Orleans sang 1 and 2 or 2 and 3. I can't remember. No. Yes. 1 and 2, I think. And then on night 3, because on night 3 it was Sunday, and they won. She did Guy and the Chiefs and Karma, which usually she reserves for when he's there. But apparently, I guess on the last couple Sundays, even though he's had football games, like after they win, she does it or whatever. At least people are, I mean, I guess just because he's playing or whatever, she does it. Yep. But on night 1, you know how she kind of has the cute little ad libs, like we'll do like different faces, like the tongue sticky outy or whatever. So on the Never Thinks of Me Except When I'm on TV moment, so the first night she did like she was like throwing a touchdown pass, and on night 2 she did touchdown. So it's very cute. So when, except for when I'm on TV, and then she liked a little touchdown the second night, and even mouth touchdown. And I was like, cute.
Oh, and cute.
Yes. And NOLA is where the Super Bowl is going to be. So everyone's like, she's manifesting that they're going to end up there for the Super Bowl. And I'm like, I don't know about all that, but that is cute if so. And if nothing else, yesterday was tight ends day. I don't know. It's the thing that the NFL has done the last couple of years. I'm not really sure why. But it's basically, ever since they made it a thing, they do try to like feed the ball to the tight end. Like the tight end usually on each team like gets a touchdown, or at least is attempted to get a touchdown if they're not as good of a team. So everyone was like, oh my God, the witchcraft, he scored his very first touchdown. And it was like 13 games and it was the blah, blah, blah. And it was 13 plays in and blah, 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 which is kind of funny. And everyone was like, oh my God, she was like signaling to it. And I was like, yeah, cause he like probably talks to her, and in practice they were probably, well, of course he talks to her cause they're dating. But literally I was like, y'all realize that it was tight ends day. And like, you think that all week in practice, they weren't working on getting him a touchdown because it was gonna be tight ends day. Like that's a little bit, Swifties were a little whatever, but I was like, it's a thing. But he did score yesterday. So I'm just a little guy on the Chiefs in his honor. So it was some cute shit.
See, this is the thing. I never watch the midnight section of the live stream. I always shut it off after a surprise home.
Yeah, it's fair. I don't tend to go unless it's like a day that we're all really clowning for reputation. And then I wait till the end to see if like something comes up at the end. But yes, a couple of people did like little compilations of like the different things she did this weekend during that. And I was like, cute. So we love it. We are so back. Oh my God. We're so back. So sad, truly, that the air store is ending soon. But it's fine. We're all gonna
People are speculating, and I'm not going to speculate with them, but I am just going to bring up the fact that people are speculating that they think she's going to toss a couple more shows on there in LA, and I will empty my bank account.
Like, I just want everyone to know.
I will.
I'm ready.
I'm
ready and I'm willing.
Andrew got a new job.
Yeah,
he's working at my company now. Very exciting. But
that is exciting.
I'm the breadwinner now, so I actually probably won't be going to Taylor Swift.
Probably can't be doing such things. Yeah.
But I'm glad I did it when I could.
Exactly. 100%. My husband also got a new job. So we're just, here we are, everyone.
Here we are.
People getting new jobs, exciting things ahead of us. My sister and I were talking last night about thinking of New Orleans out of nowhere. Again, this is 100% putting the cart before the horse. Out of nowhere, my sister was just like, should we go to the Super Bowl? Like, if the Lions were to make it. And I was like, in what world could we afford that? That's so expensive. And so I was like, right now, because there's already Super Bowl tickets on sale. Because they put them on sale before you ever know the teams. And people that are smart will like buy them earlier, because especially if you're someone like a Chiefs fan and you're like, chances are we're going to make it, you know? But anywho, people will buy it early, and then like if their team doesn't make it, they just resell them, you know, or maybe they go just to experience the Super Bowl, you know, Kendrick Lamar halftime show, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So I looked literally last night. Again, we're like so many weeks out from the Super Bowl. We have no idea who's going to make the Super Bowl. And these tickets are already like reselling for $6,000. And I was like, oh, no. And then we're like, what if we went to a playoff game? And so then she's like, oh my God, even that can be expensive. And like, that's a very, so those are actually played in people's like home stadiums, right? So you have to contend with the fact that season ticket holders get first dibs of their tickets, obviously. And if they've made it to a playoff game, obviously they're probably going to want to buy those tickets. So your amount of regular tickets that aren't season ticket holders that you can buy for playoff game are very small. It's a small pool, right? So anyways, we're talking about it and we're like, oh my God, could you imagine going to Ford Field for a playoff game? Like, oh, wouldn't that be amazing? Like, that'd be so much money though. I don't know. And so I was like, well, if you can buy it when they go on sale, like at actual face value, it's probably not that bad. But the problem is it's very tricky. And I go, unless you get Katie Sweeney on it. Katie will get you those tickets. Katie is a pro at this. She has bought Ticketmaster so many times. I was like, she's my ticket girl. I was like, I'm gonna contact Katie. I'm gonna get Katie on this. So
she is a ticket whiz.
She really is. The amount of times she has been able to fight the ticket gods to get Taylor Swift tickets is truly amazing. She will be at night two of Vancouver, which right now should be the second to last night of the tour. But I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, if the LA rumors are true.
I don't know.
If it is, we will live with that. There will be other tours and other things to look forward to someday, but I will just be very much in my feelings when it is over. But we're just gonna live it up while we've got it. And I guess we should actually probably talk about the book now.
Yeah. One more thing, y'all.
Yes, please.
One more thing. Next week is the election. Mm-hmm. So get out there and vote, please. Oh, and show up, vote. I waited in a long ass line today because I'm in the Bible Belt now. But get out there, vote. Next week, we're going to have a little bit more chill of episodes. Yes. Because I think we're all going to be
stressful time
panicking. So, yes. But vote.
Please vote. Yeah, I voted yesterday, which was very nice that there wasn't early voting on a Sunday. It was very smooth, very easy, probably the easiest voting I've ever done. I've never got to use one of the fancy machines, and I got to use a fancy machine.
Me too.
So nice. I was like, oh, this is lovely. Yeah. So yeah, that was nice. It was a very simple process. I've only ever gotten to vote where you like have a marker and you bubble in a little thing and it just feels like it takes forever. So this was so nice. I was like, boop, boop, boop. And I was like, I'm done. I'm already at the amendments part. Oh my God, this was so easy.
But yeah, it took me 2 seconds. Like there was a button on ours where you could just click Democrat and then it would autofill all the Democrats.
What's so fancy? I know.
I was like,
that's fantastic. Okay. I got to vote for my coroner. I was like, oh yes. I was like, yes, the incumbent. We love him.
It's so weird that we vote for a coroner. Yes. I did not know that that was a thing. And then I saw like the signs on the road and it was like, vote, blah, blah, blah for coroner.
And I was like, that's a publicly elected job. I've learned a thing. I was this many, you know, I was today years old when I, well, this weekend when I was looking it up. I'm embarrassed to tell you all how much time and effort I spent looking into our three amendments because it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo that, in fairness, Ballotpedia rated our First Amendment like 28% on readability. It was the most legalese bullshit I've ever read in my life. And I was like, I thought I was intelligent. But yeah, they were real confusing. And so I spent hours reading articles, watching people on TikTok that are smarter than me explain them. And then I was like, okay, no. Oh, that sounds good, but no, it's going to take funding away from public schools. We do not believe.
Yes, they always like it's always tricky, you know, they like make it seem like, oh, this is like no big deal, oh, like blah blah blah, like how they're trying to do no tax on tips. It's like, yeah, so that seems like it's gonna be helpful for the worker, but actually this is for the business class, let's be fucking honest. And like really what we need to be doing is getting rid of the tipping system, the subminimum wage at the very least, you know, maybe not tips, but like the subminimum wage we need to get rid of because that's bullshit.
Yes.
Okay. It's time.
Let's dive on in. Let's Taylor Swift at the end of the surprise songs and just dive on into
it. Yes. Yes.
Wash this up.
Okay. So chapter 6. Oh, do we need a recap?
I just had like a brief little recap. Yeah.
So basically our main character, Sydney, her brother had a severe drug problem, ? Was it drugs?
Yeah, drugs, alcohol, kind of seems like he was into a lot of stuff.
Yep. And he was always getting into trouble, always getting arrested, and then finally, he got behind the wheel of a car when he was drunk and he hit a child and that child is now paralyzed and he is in prison. Mom is unable to mom right now and dad sounds like he's just kind of like one of those absent destined dads that we tend to see her write about. So, oh, and she made some new friends. She goes to a new school. She made new friends, Layla and Layla's family. And in the last chapter we read, she told Layla everything. She told him about the paralyzed kid, about the brother, about everything. And Layla kind of opened up and said, like, I kind of relate to this because my sister also struggles with drugs. But has never killed anyone. Paralyzed them.
Yeah. She's never harmed anyone.
Yes. So that's where we're at. That's where
creepy,
we're at.
Creepy friends.
Oh, yeah. And then her brother has a friend who is very clearly a pedophile. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's what you missed on Glee.
Fam. So, chapter 6. So she is, like, expecting to feel a lot of regret for telling Layla about Peyton, but she doesn't because, like, that was in a – that, like, she was a safe space and, like, she feels better about it, being able to talk about it, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. And She was like, I thought it would change everything, but this wasn't unrealistic. Peyton's crimes and convictions had skewed the view people had of my entire family. People in the neighborhood either stared or made a point of not looking at us. I was the sister of the neighborhood delinquent, drug addict, and now drunk driver, and it didn't matter that I'd done none of these things. With shame, like horseshoes, proximity counts. I like the with like horseshoes.
Yeah. I know. I was like, what a great like metaphor.
Yes.
Freaking analogy. I love that.
Yeah. That was good. But she is like, this didn't happen with Layla though. Layla like pulled me in more tightly into her world and like brought her around her friends. And she's described as Layla is like the shining star around which her family and friends revolved. She's like, we didn't form a friendship as much as it got sucked into her orbit. And once there, I understood why everyone else was.
I love that. I know.
This is like big sisterhood chapter. And I was emotional reading it. I was like, oh my God.
Yes.
So after her talk, she introduced Sydney to all of her friends. She transferred from Perkins Day, drives a nice car, and likes root beer, yum yums.
I wrote a note. There's a note about how Eric is there. And he, of course, is like the douchey musician friend that like Max in a band with that we've met before. And it says, while Eric wearing a fedora. And I just wrote, of course he would.
Oh my God. Does it? Oh yes. Oh my God.
Wearing a fedora. Oh. I was like, yeah, that tracks.
Of course he's wearing a fedora.
Yes. We get to meet Irv here, who is like the first person we haven't met in like the group. Because obviously we know Eric, we know Mac, and we get to meet Irv.
We get to meet Irv. I guess he's very tall and very large. She's like describing him as like a skyscraper. He was wearing dress pants, a shirt and tie with a Jackson High football jersey and sunglasses. I feel like they have to dress up like that sometimes, right? I don't know.
Yeah, on game days.
Irving Farrington. Farrington?
Yeah, Farrington? Farrington. I'm not sure. It sounds very Bridgerton, though. Like, that's like it a does. Name that would it be does. In Bridgerton. Irving Farrington.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's to be on your dance card.
Yes. So Irv brings a huge lunch because he's like a massive football guy. So he's got to eat. It was chicken legs, some kind of grain, edamame, hamburger patties, hard boiled eggs, and then a bag packed with cookies. And he just shares this food with the gals because they don't eat very well. Layla. Is there another girl? No, it's just Layla.
It's just Layla. Yes.
Yeah. He shares with Layla because she doesn't, you know, eat nutritious food. So
this is where we learn, which I was like, oh my God, this is the most me-coded thing ever. This is where we learn that apparently she just gets fries and calls it lunch, and fries aren't a meal. And I'd like to 100ly, that's not the word. I would like to wholeheartedly, I was going to say 100% and wholeheartedly, and I combined it. I'd like to wholeheartedly disagree with you, Mac, because in my world, French fries are a meal.
Agreed.
Not the healthiest meal, but a meal, okay?
Yeah, especially when you're serving and you haven't eaten in 12 hours and you're like, let me just get this thing of fries in my mouth.
Are you familiar with the term psoriasis fries? Has anyone ever said this in your presence? Because when I first heard it, I was like, that's the grossest thing. Why would you want to like, and that's no disrespect to psoriasis. Y'all have eczema. I understand my dry skin people. But I was like, psoriasis is like, obviously skin dry condition. Skin condition.
Yeah.
I don't want that associated with the delicious food that I eat. But basically, you know, like beer battered fries, like that have like the kind of crispiness on the outside. People call them psoriasis fries. And now so many people around me do it that I've started calling it that. And it makes me angry. Because like the other day I was like, they have really good psoriasis fries. And I was like, oh no, I'm doing it.
Ew. I don't like that. Not you as in like people with psoriasis are gross, but just right. like as you said, like I have pretty bad skin things in my head and I don't want to associate my head that skin with my food.
Yes, with deliciousness that is French fries.
Yes.
It's ingrained in my head now and it makes me mad. I was like, y'all, we need to come up with a different term for that. Thank you.
Yeah, desperately. It doesn't even make sense.
No. And I Googled it though. And like, it's a thing. Like people call it this. And I was like, oh, so it's not just like my group of friends that are being weird calling. I was like, that's not a thing. And they're like, look it up. And I was like, okay, other people on the internet are calling it this. All right. Good to know.
That is so interesting. Sound off in the comments. Have you ever heard psoriasis fries?
Psoriasis. Please let us know. I need to know.
But Mac is giving her a little bit of shit for the fries aren't a meal thing. And she's like, fine, grandma, just shut up and eat your grapes. And he throws a grape at her, but accidentally hits Sydney in the face. And Chrissy, she's giving Chrissy. Layla is giving Chrissy. Layla.
You mean Christy?
Christy. Thank you.
There you go. You can hear me. I knew you would.
Christy. She's giving Christy.
She is. She's, I think they'd be good friends.
Yes. She was like, nice Macaulay Chatham. Is that part of your game now? Throwing food at pretty girls to get their attention? Love that.
I also like that we get to know what Mac is short for there. I was like, ooh, that's what his full name is. Okay, good to know.
Macaulay.
Macaulay. Aw, cute. Like Macaulay Culkin? It's an interesting name. Honestly, Macaulay yes. Culkin is like the only Macaulay I know. Obviously, I'm certain there are other Same. Macaulays out there, but it's definitely not a name that's ever cracked like the top 100 popular names, you know?
No, I don't think I've ever met a Macaulay.
No, in my life.
Mm-mm. And now Macaulay Culkin? Yeah, they just set that kid up for failure.
They really set him up with that one. He either was going to be famous, which he turned out to be, or like no one was ever going to talk. Like there was no in between. Like imagine certain names, like, you're like, you had to be famous to pull that name off.
This is my accountant, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Mr. Culkin.
Honestly, Culkin is such a weird name. I know it's like your surname and they like didn't really get a choice in that, but like Culkin. Sounds like you're like cocking something. Like, you know, like I'm over here cocking the bathroom.
I'm going to need to research the history of the name Culkin because I wonder if it's like shortened from something really long and like Polish, probably. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm fascinated.
The Culkins, like their Christmas card is like the Culkin family.
Culkin family.
The stranger it really sounds. Mm. The Culkins. Good for them.
Good for them.
They're doing great things, you know? So that's good for them.
Layla is like, oh, this would be a very cute beginning to a love story. Irv like Rose's eyes. And Layla's like, can't you just see it? He threw a grape at me on a sunny day and I just knew it was love.
Oh.
She's a romantic. She's lovely.
I know. I truly love her.
She's like, these boys have no sense of romance. I, on the other hand, am a connoisseur, as most teenage girls are, and most teenage boys are dumbs.
Yep.
And some adult boys, too, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's fair, actually. It's very fair. Yes. She loves candy, french fries, and love. And I was like, Layla is me. That is, yes.
Yes, I know. I love candy, french fries, and love. That is so true.
All things I'm into, personally.
I want to rant so bad about the book that I just finished today, but like, I don't know if I should.
I don't know if I should.
It's really off topic. It's not.
Is this the one you posted about on Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah, that seems like it was. Ooh, I don't like that.
I was like, so Grady Hendrix is like a super popular horror author. So I was like, okay, well, he's so popular. Like, I keep hearing all these great things about him. Like, I'm going to try one of his books. And I read the vampire one, the Southern Book Club, and like it is written by a man from the perspective of housewives. So like you already know that there's going to be some trouble wrapped up in that. But then like, and then there was a lot of stuff with race as well because it takes place in Charleston in the 90s. And he didn't really handle that super well. And then, like, a huge part of the story was, like, the, like, sexual assault of women and children. And it was, like, we didn't need that. Like, he's a vampire. You didn't need to include that at all. And, like, it just, like, if a man is fucking writing a grape scene, I'm immediately like, fuck this.
Yeah, that's fair.
So anyway, that was my rant. I did go on it. Anyways.
Sounds like it was pretty yikes from top to bottom for many reasons.
Yeah. And I was really disappointed because people love him, but no, thank you. This is what I get for giving a male author a chance.
Should have known.
So then we find out that that Layla reads a lot. Not only does she read romance novels, but she also reads instruction manuals. But not romance instruction manuals, Eric says. So that's really interesting. Like, I love that. So she just, like, learns how to do a bunch of random shit, like weave a rug or grout a floor. She's going to be an excellent adult. She's going to know how to fix everything. Yeah, so she reads instruction manuals, and I really think that's cool. I wish I had that kind of brain.
I know.
But she was like, Sydney was like, I'm having trouble keeping up with this conversation because she spent so much time alone that she'd forgotten what it was like to be relaxed in somebody else's company, which I love that. I just feel like she's finding her people, and there's nothing better than a Sarah Dessen book where they find their people. Like,
yes. Chef's the best bit, always. Okay. Yes.
So then she's like, now I eat lunch with them every single day. There's food trucks, multiple food trucks. I was like,
very jealous.
I was like, this is public school. You guys got
food. Everyone keeps acting like Jackson is like this, like, oh, public school. It's like nothing compared to Perkins Day. And I was like, y'all got food trucks rolling up, though. That's pretty fancy.
Right? Like, the best thing in my high school cafeteria was the chicken salad.
Oh, that is quite fancy sounding.
It was delicious. It was on a croissant.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It was so good. Should I go on another side tangent? No.
I was like, I want to hear that chicken salad. I don't feel like my cafeteria did anything good. Maybe the cookies? I don't know.
My high school, when my freshman year, like, had the best food. It had, like, ice cream vending machines and, like, candy vending machines and soda vending machines. And, like, there was a shit ton of candy and there was, like, delicious meals. And then the, like, student council ran that year on, like, don't you want to be healthier?
No.
And I can tell you that during their little speeches, somebody said, do you still want to be – my school's name was Fontbon, but it was colloquially known as Fatbon. And they were like, do you still want to be called Fatbon? And I was like, yes. Like, that's
– yeah, I'm
that's
fine with
on them. Them. That's on me. I want my candy at lunch. I'm 15. So
– this is my time where I can get away with eating candy for lunch, okay? Like, there's going to be a day where that's not going to work for me anymore. But right now, at 15, it's the time.
Unfortunately, though, they did win, and we got rid of all of the good vending machines, and then we only had gross food, and Raisinets was the best candy you could get, and I will never forget
them. I actually do like Raisinets, which I do make fun of often for, but I do have grandma taste in candy, but that's still disappointing that all the good stuff went away.
Yes. Do you like cowtails?
I do. I can get down with the cowtail. It's not something that's, like, readily available, so I don't have it often.
I know, yeah.
But I'm into it when it's offered to me, for sure.
Cowtails, my mom loved those, like, back in the 90s. Anytime we went to a convenience store, she'd grab cowtails. I don't like them. Something about the texture.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. I'm a fan, but I feel like maybe, like, I've never been a bit big Butterfinger fan. We're actually talking about this today. Mm. Like, what did you eat last in your Halloween candy thing? Like, what did you try to trade or you just never ate or ate last? And mine was always Butterfingers. Like, when it got down to, like, the bottom of the pail and you were like, well, it's the last bit of candy. I guess I'll eat it. But it wasn't what I was, like, grabbing for first, you know?
I love Butterfingers.
Yeah, I was just never a fan. And I like the elements that are in it. But for some reason, the way it is made and put together, I don't know. Never did it for me.
Yeah. I like that. They have food trucks. She eats from the food trucks a lot. Irving brings his own lunch. So does Mac. And Layla is a French fry connoisseur. She has this stuff down to a science. Mm-hmm. She's like, they are all cooked differently. They all taste differently. There's different ketchup combinations. Temperature and packaging and whether the ketchup was from a packet or a bottle. And like, honestly, while I was reading this, I was like, this is so true.
Like, yeah, if you I'm really like, she brings up it, mad facts, if we're being honest.
Truth be told, I'd like it better from a packet when I'm out and about.
Yeah, I agree. Something about a packet ketchup slaps. Yeah. It just hits different.
It does hit different. So she says, what's most important is the shape. They should be long, not stubby, decent width, but not thicker than a finger. Only the most basic seasoning, nothing crazy, and served hot, but not too hot. Oh, she says no such thing as not too hot. Hot fries cool down. Cold fries never warm up. Very true.
That is a very true point. I'm with her 100% on that.
So then Sydney says that all the fast food chains have the same French fries, and like, that couldn't be more wrong.
No, definitely not. No,
definitely not. The best French fries from fast food places, I would say, is McDonald's.
Yeah. We all hate to say it, but let's be honest. Mm-hmm. It is.
They have the best fries.
Someone once said to me, which I think is a fair point, because we were discussing fast food French fries, and they were like, here's how you judge. Like, what is the fry that when you get, it's so good on its own, like, that, like, you have to, like, stick your, when you get it and it's fresh from, you know, the fryer, and it's still in, like, the brown, greasy bag, and you just stick a hand in and can, like, eat some, and you, like, don't want to stop. Like, other French fries are good, but you get them for, like, the dipping sauce or whatever. Like, French fries, you could just eat plain, straight up. You don't even have to put ketchup on it, and you're, like, slaps every time, maybe, except for when they're too salty, because that does happen sometimes.
Or cold.
Then they're disgusting. But if they're, like, fresh and hot, that's the ticket.
We are, like, three pages into this chapter.
God, I'm so
We have so many. Listen, we've been gone for 2 weeks. You guys missed us, right?
Yeah, we have to be chatty. We have a lot of chatting. We haven't been able to go on a tangent in a minute, okay?
And like, me and Bethany have a lot of feelings about French fries.
Yes, we can't help it. I'm sorry. It's very, very important to us, the French fries.
So she is overwhelming her with the amount of information she has on fries, but she says, hearing this, I had that feeling again, like the conversation was a pack of wild horses pounding out ahead of me, leaving nothing but dust behind. They get some French fries from food trucks. Again, what? one of the food trucks is Asian Creole Fusion. Like,
yeah.
What?
What is this magical place?
Right. Like, this isn't chicken salad on a croissant, let me tell you.
Damn straight.
So they get fries, extra ketchup packets, and Layla has this process where she has three identically sized pools of ketchup. One, she adds pepper. One, she adds salt. And the third one is an unidentified substance she pulls from her purse, housed in a test tube. I would love to know what that is. She says, Sydney says she tries it, and she's like, whoa, that was amazing.
I like the line that Irv says when she's making this. He goes, I know just what you're thinking, Irv said to me. This has all been a little intense, but now it's getting weird. I felt that the same way my first time. And I was just like, wow, that's such a like friend thing to say about your friend. I was like, that's fantastic.
I know. I love that. Yeah. So now also next time I eat fries, I'm going to do this. Well, except for the mystery spice blend, because I don't know what it is. I don't
think I've ever put pepper in my ketchup before. And I'm like, is that good? Would I like it? Is it good?
Mm-hmm. The fire? Only good things that came from my previous relationship is learning to put pepper in the ketchup when you eat fries. Very good.
There's always something. One of the only good things that came from my previous relationship was learning how to score baseball. Thanks for that. Everything else, suck a dick. Step on a Lego.
Everything else, thanks for the trauma.
Yeah, thanks for the trauma.
So she's like, what's in the last one? And she's like, just don't worry about it. Just try it. It's not spicy and it's not gross. And Sydney says, in every friendship, at some point comes a test. Never before in my experience, however, had it involved food. First time for everything, I thought, and followed directions. And then she's like, holy shit, this is so good. And Max says, welcome to the illness. She was like, he used to love it before he, you know, started dieting or whatever he's doing. She glances over at Mac and she's like, there was something about him that made me so nervous. From someone that good looking, even the smallest bit of attention was like the brightest of lights focused on me. And it's like, oh, that's so cute. Goodness. Yep. So she's like, I knew this reaction well because like a lot of girls felt that way about her brother. Like he was very handsome and they like really loved having attention from him. But she says that Mac doesn't really know how attractive he is, whereas her brother knew. She says that she shouldn't have been thinking about this and Mac would never be interested in me in the first place. I'm sure. She said, I'd been hanging out with Lila for a week or so, but certain rules spoken and unsaid were already clear. You weren't barbaric with fries. You didn't take the bubblegum or cotton candy yum yums, and you never even thought about dating her brother. Just ask Kimmy Crandall. So then we learn about Kimmy Crandall, who is Mac's ex-girlfriend. Yeah, she's like, I first heard this conversation during a typical fast-paced lunch. And they are like trying to come up with the most awful combination. Someone you truly dislike eating with their mouth open. They extend that to like with egg salad and with their mouth open while wearing a sweater that smells like wet dog. And then blah, blah, blah. Eventually it gets to the point where Mac doesn't really do it right. And she's like, oh my God, what the heck? And so Layla is like, okay, Kimmy Crandall eating egg salad with her mouth full, wearing a sweater that smells like wet dog while telling a boring story with no point about golf. And Eric's like, you win. And then Mac gets kind of like quiet about this. Like Layla's like, Mac's ex-girlfriend, my former best friend, would love to know what happened there. But Mac gets quiet and like walks away to the trash cans. And she's like, it's been 3 months. Like, why isn't he over this yet? And she's like, she broke the friendship code. I can make fun of her whenever I want. Very like 17-year-old mindset here. They're like 17, right? 18. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, that's awful. She like broke his heart. She talked shit about them to anyone who would listen. And she goes to the Fountain School, which,
hey, we know that.
Yeah, shout out to the Fountain School. She was a mean hippie who even knew such thing existed. And then she calls her a bitch. And I'm like, ooh, harsh.
Oh.
I don't like, I don't know what it is, but now that I'm like in my 30s, whenever somebody uses the word bitch, I'm like, oh.
I'm like, excuse me. And I'm like, I'm not harsh.
I'm like, that's very harsh. Like,
but calling people, yeah, names in general, unless, I don't know, they're just like the absolute worst person who totally deserves it, which maybe she does. But bitch just does sound very like.
It is. It's like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what it, that's like the noise it makes when in my brain. Two nights later, she had something waiting for her, or her mom had something on her plate. Basically, her dad wants to take her mom to Hotel St. Clair. He's going there for a work conference. And he's like, you need some time on the beach. You need a vacation. You need to relax. Mom does not want to do that. She's like, oh, I can't do this. And dad is like really pushing it because he's like, you can miss one day of visitation. We'll make sure Ames visits. And she's like, what about Sydney's new school? And her dad makes it very clear that Sydney should just be like, no, you're fine. Like, that's great. He already talked to Jen's parents. So she's going to stay with Jen, which Sydney is like, okay, cool.
Thanks for asking me.
Yes. He's like, we need this. You need this. Like, blah, blah, blah. So he basically, she says she'll think about it. But she does end up going. She Like, dad really talks her into it. I guess, like, he's being a good husband here. Like, yeah, she does need it.
I'm going to give him that she really does need this trip. Yes.
Yes. But what happens next? Not great. So she's like, maybe this would be good for all of us. Like, they can go away for a weekend. I'll stay with Jen. Like, everything will be fine. But then the day they're leaving, I believe, we find out that Jen is sick. So she cannot stay with Jen and her family. Meredith, her other friend, is away at a meet. And mom is like, okay, fine, then I'm not going. And she's like, I can stay home alone for a weekend. Like, I'm 17. But mom is like freaking out. That's not happening. I think we all know well what a lack of supervision can lead to. She says, hearing this, I felt stung. I'd never done anything, not even skipped school. The last thing I deserved was to have the same old assumptions applied. But clearly this wasn't about me. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Like, they really are like, like how she says, like, the neighborhood, like, the shame is attached to her because of proximity. It's also, like, the bad behavior is attached to her because of proximity. Yep. Like, mom is like, well, you're probably going to be a person who gets behind the wheel and paralyzes a kid, too.
Right. Even though you've done nothing to ever show us that you're a bad kid or would do anything like that. But
right.
Obviously, now that your brother has, we're going to just assume that, yeah.
Yeah. So dad pulls out his phone. He's like, done. It's taken care of. Sydney thinks to herself, like, now I wasn't it. Nice. Which is awful.
Yeah.
And it is kind of like, okay, so he's taking her mom on this, like, vacation because she really needs it. And they are just kind of like, fuck this kid. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
he's like, oh, whatever. Like, we'll figure out. I think dad would have been like cool with her staying home alone, which honestly, like, she's a responsible kid. And I think she would have been fine. Like, at 17, I think you can stay by yourself or like, you're fine. You know, you're practically like in the eyes of the law, legal adult almost. But I mean, again, at 17, your brain is not actually fully developed or whatever, but you can like survive on your own for a week. And she's a good kid. And she wouldn't have gone off and done anything. And I think he would have been fine with it. But the problem is like why he would be fine with it is because, yeah, like it's so he's not even concerned about her. Like she is like so not on his radar of concern. And it's just like, okay, she's also going through a lot, dad. If mom needs a vacation, let's at least like check in with our daughter. Could we? Like, I don't know. Just a thought.
Right. But instead what he does is he texts Ames, and Ames is going to stay here. He said, Ames and Marla, they'll be here at 4, stay the whole weekend. He says it's not a problem at all. I wrote, no, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because you fucking know. So you don't even need to keep reading to know that Marla is not coming.
Yeah.
Ames knows what's going on, and it gets fucking creepy. So she's like, oh my God, they don't need to do that. Like, please no. And she's like, oh no, that mom's like, oh, that will be great. Like, that's he's happy to do it. Marla's got the whole weekend off. Like, oh, okay. And so she's trying everything to get out of this. She's like, I have a new friend, Layla. I can stay with her. And they're both like, oh, I don't really trust you staying with somebody that we don't know. That could be even worse than staying by yourself. And I'm like, you know what's actually the worst?
What having your daughter her to do.
Yes, having your daughter stay with a legit pedo. So
but why would you again? Like, and I understand in their mind, Ames is like God's greatest gift to them or whatever, since all this has gone down with Peyton. But why would you let your teenage daughter stay with a guy? Like, is so weird to me. And I understand in their mind, it's like, oh, and Marla's gonna be there. And it's like, again, we all know, no, she isn't. But I don't know. I was like, that's just such a weird, like, it's not like a family friend, like someone who, like,
you grew
growing
up,
we had family friends that was like, we called them uncle so-and-so whatever. And if like my parents needed someone to watch us, like theoretically we could have gone to like aunt and uncle so-and-so, but that's like their friends. That's a parental figure. That's someone you grew up with, not someone who's your brother's age, who basically is like also, you know, a young guy. And like, oh, like, I don't know everything about it. I was just like, no, why would you do that to your daughter?
I know. I couldn't believe it. And it's the dad, too. It's like, well, no, I guess dads are even less, more naive about, like, what the situation. But she's like, okay, I'll stay by myself. And they're like, nope, this is happening. Ames and Marla are coming. Get over it. So she is kind of, like, really freaking out. And She says her mom smiled reluctantly, and she said she realized how long it had been since she's seen anything but barely coping or outright sad. And what would I tell her anyway? That this person whom you count on and totally adore gives me the creeps for no reason I can specifically say, and his girlfriend wouldn't help matters? I'd sound crazy. Maybe I was. And mom's like, Sydney, are you okay? Like, is everything okay? And Sydney says, I met her eyes, nothing but saying nothing but wishing she would. That somehow in the midst of all her grief and distraction, she might be able to finally see me, if not hear the words I couldn't speak aloud. And she doesn't, though. So she's like, yep, I'm fine.
My heart just breaks for her. This next chapter is juicy.
It is. Chapter 7.
Chapter 7. Ow. Okay. All right, so we start off with she's back at Seaside, which is the like family, Layla's family's pizza joint. They have like a little vintage that was sort of looking for a jukebox. There we go. And she was like, oh, now that I was here, I was even more sure of it. Like the music is bluegrass, which again, like the pizza place is called Seaside. It's a pizza place. There's bluegrass music. So she's like, what is going on here? So we learn a little bit. So she says that her mom is actually the Italian one. But when they got married, it was kind of like understood that he was taking over. He wanted to make it more his own, though. So he plays bluegrass to kind of, I don't know, remind him of his mountain ways. Because he's from the mountains, I guess. But she says that, you know, she's like, oh, yeah, it's this place is called Seaside Pizza. Bluegrass is mountain music. It's totally incongruous. And so she's like, oh, like, it's, you know, it's nice music, though. So this is where we learn that basically the whole family is pretty musical. Our girl Layla, like, plays a bunch of different things. And she's like, yeah, like, my dad taught me how to play banjo when I was 7. And she's like, but Rosie is really, like, she's the singer. Like, she's the one with the voice. Like, she's such a good singer. And, of course, we already know that, like, Mac is quite, you know, good with music and stuff because he's in the band. So she says, I plan to stay as long as I possibly could. I'd gone to school at 7:45 that morning. Sorry. She checked her voicemail to see that, you know, her mom and dad had left. Like, they were at the airport, which she's happy about because, again, she's like, yes, like, my mom needs this trip. But, like, oh, God, I have to stay with Ames. Oh, God, oh, God. So she's, you know, she's just, like, has a pit in her stomach all day. She's, like, very nervous about it. And so that's why she's at Seaside with Layla, just trying to, you know, get home as late as possible. And hello. Sorry, Mike just got home. Your package should be here. I might be in the mailbox, but my mom said it was delivered. Sorry. Mike's birthday gift for my mom should have been delivered today. But anywho. So she is very nervous about going home, right? So anywho, she says she's got like a whole plan for tomorrow that she's going to like stay out all day, make some excuse by why she needs to get home late. Like, she is going to spend as least amount as possible with Creeper Creep as she possibly can. So of course he texts her and he's like, cooking you dinner. Well, so disturbing. And so she's like, oh God. And so, so she texts back and she's like, oh, you know, he asks like, when are you coming home? And she's like, oh, about an hour or so. Like, you don't have to cook. And he says, I want to, which is just like, oh, so disturbing. So again, she's, you know, really trying to kind of draw this out. She doesn't want to have to go home. And finally, Mac gets an order, which means that he's, like, going to take Layla home because that kind of seems to be their thing, which is then she realizes, like, oh, I should probably go because if Layla's leaving, like, I don't really have an excuse to hang out here anymore. So they head off. She gets told to be safe, which is kind of her normal, you know, like, greeting that she gets from Mac and Layla when she leaves. But she says that, you know, it carried no great meaning or symbolic importance. But even so, hearing him say it, I felt my tears prick my eyes. And I was like, oh, I just feel so bad for her. And, like, the fact that she is this nervous to go over there is, like, trust your gut, ladies. Like, truly. Like, if someone is really making you feel this way, even if you don't, like, really have a reason to, as she keeps saying, like, your gut is telling you this for a reason, you know?
100%. I like how after these text messages go back and forth, she says here, oh, I don't like it, but you know, it's well written. I stuffed my phone back into my bag, turning off the ringer. As I did, I felt a rush of new anger towards my brother. There have been so many ripple effects of his bad choices, but this one was mine alone to deal with. Thanks a lot.
It's honestly, it does. So she, again, ends up back, you know, at home. She, like, says basically goodbye to them at the intersection. And she says that, you know, the first thing she sees was candles. And these are ones that her mom only pulls out for Christmas and Thanksgiving. Like, they're the special fancy candles, right? And he's just, like, so, oh, my God, chill. He's all like, hey there. He's wearing a button-down shirt, jeans, sneakers. How was school? And she's like, it was all just so weird. The juxtaposition of the question, which my mom asked me every day, and the candles, which indicated something almost romantic. So, of course, her first question is, like, where in the hell is our girl Marla? And, of course, he's like, oh, she's sick. Stomach flu. Sucks, right? And it's like, as we predicted, Marla is not there. Shocker. So, of course, now she's, like, even more panicked. And she reiterates, like, you didn't have to cook. And he's like, oh, but you haven't lived until you have my spaghetti with meat sauce. And it's like, gag me. And, of course, he, like, really thinks he's, like, I'm like, first of all, like, that's not special, my dude. But, of course, he thinks he's, like, really making her some, like, gourmet meal. So she tries to kind of dodge him again. She says that she has been hungry. And he's like, oh, you know, just a taste, which, like, again. And so she says, I wasn't prone to panicking, but suddenly I could feel my heart beating. And she's like, I'm going to go put my stuff away. He's all, like, creepy. And he's like, don't be long, which is just so disturbing. So she calls Seaside Pizza because she just, like, again, is kind of panicking. And is like, what do I do? How do I get out of this? And so she gets a different person who answers, and, you know, she kind of wanted to speak to Layla, and so she asked to do a delivery order just so that way, like, she, I don't know, like, can have someone come to her house, basically, because, like, obviously this whole thing is very terrifying. Yeah. So she gives her address, and then she kind of gets put on hold when the person comes back. It's Layla, and so she's like, hey, it's Sydney. And she's like, oh, like, what's up? We're going to only have one flight this afternoon. And she asked her to spend the night. She says, you know, I literally blurted this out. I doubted she'd even made it out. But again, she surprised me. Sure, let me just ask. Like, she's so, like, non-bothered by this. So she goes ahead and obviously, I assume, goes and, like, asks her dad because he's there. And so then, which I was kind of confused because I thought that, like, the whole reason she left was because they were, like, going to the thing. But I was like, did Layla not leave? Like, I don't know. Again, it's been a minute since I read this. But then Layla is back at the pizza place. So I was kind of confused. But maybe I just read it wrong.
No, she says, looks pretty busy. I'll probably stick around while Max. Until Max heading in.
Okay, so she decides to, because it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So she did stay there. All right, so anyhow. So she says that she's in. Matt can bring me the pizza. I'm like 20 minutes or so. And so Sydney is relieved, and now she's like, okay, I just have to, like, get through these next 20 minutes, which 20 minutes can feel like an eternity when you have to hang out with this creeper. So she goes downstairs, and of course, Ames is there with the table set and is all, like, in his weird little candles and trying to impress her with his meat sauce, which, like, get the hell out of here, my dude. And she's like, actually, I have a friend coming over with pizza, and he seems, like, kind of mad. And he's like, I told you I was cooking. And she's like, I know, but... And so then he tells her, you know, your mom didn't mention anything to me about a friend visiting. And it's like, yeah, of course, because you wouldn't have agreed, because you knew you wouldn't have gotten her alone, like, if you would have known that a friend was visiting. And I love that she thinks she's like, she also thought Marla was going to be here. Right. And then just like, oh my God, seriously, everything about this exchange is like so like gaslighty and like disturbing and creepy. And like, I hate everything about it because he's like, it's not very polite then to make other plans when a person has gone out of their way to do something for you. She didn't ask, asshole. Like, I just, it grosses me out so much. So of course she like can't say that to him, even though she wants to. And she's like, oh, sorry, signals got crossed. Because again, when you're a woman, like you can't stand up for yourself and you can't like be mean to a guy because that can get you in situations. So you have to like play nice and it's all bullshit. So yes, it just gives me angry. So anyways, she's just like really uncomfortable and getting really annoyed. And she says, you know, it's really weird to see an adult pout, which is what he's doing. And so then he like gives her like they do like a cheers, like he like gives her a glass and he's like, to good friends, he said. And again, just absolutely gagged me. So of course he's like set up seriously like this whole date. He's like got this romantic dinner plan. He rented a couple of like romantic movies. He's like, so thought we'd settle in on the couch, have some popcorn. Hope you're a fan of heavy butter or else we can't be buds anymore. Which again, like don't talk to her and say things like buds anymore. Like you're talking to your kid's sister, which again, like you are because you're friends with her older brother. But then also like light candles, you know, like you can't have it both ways. You can't be like, like, oh, seriously, what a pedophile. So they're disturbing. And she's like, okay, yeah. Because again, like she just like has to play nice. She's literally here just like counting. She's like 12 minutes. So she's like, oh, this is good. Thank you so much for cooking. And he's like, you know, kind of puffing up his chest. Like, oh, yes, thank you. Of course, I'm a, such a great cook. And he's already like, oh, what are you up tomorrow? I'll be free all afternoon after I go see Peyton. You want to go to a movie or go bowling? Stop planning dates. No, stop it. You're gross. So she says, sorry. Mike's riling a balloon out there. She's like, I have this whole thing. It's mandatory. And he's like, on the weekend. And so she, of course, like makes up some lie about a community service project because he's being creepy. And I like who he goes, huh? Well, we'll see. No, you have no say here. Like, you're not her like parent. You're not her brother. You're not anyone with any power. And she, as a fully formed teenage girl, says, I have a thing to do. She doesn't have to answer to you, dumbass. So, anyways, thank God the doorbell finally rings. And, of course, it's Layla there to save the day. And this the next bit, this exchange is, like, so telling. And it, like, honestly upsets me so much that they are there for two. Well, again, Layla saw him before. But that Mac and Layla are there for, like, 2 minutes and are, like, something is not right. This is not okay. And immediately clock it. And her parents cannot see anything. And I know. I know that mom is distracted. I know that dad is a shitty dad and he doesn't pay any attention. But, like, they clocked it right away. They clocked it. This is wrong.
It's hard. It's just, like, that's a thing, though. Like, most children who are, like, molested are molested by people that their family knows and trusts and brings into the house. Like, it's crazy.
Yep. People are always worried about stranger danger. But no one is ever talking to you about the people that you let into your own house.
That's right.
Yeah. So, So she comes in again and they clock right away that like something is wrong. And of course she's like, Sydney's like, I'm so glad you're here. And, she's like, your house, you know, Layla's like, wow, like such an enthusiastic welcome. Like, thank you so much. Your house is so gorgeous. And she's like, thanks, come on in. And of course she sees Ames behind her and sees the way that the table is set and all of this stuff. And he's like, Ames Bentley, close friend of the family. So, you know, she's like, oh, like this is Mac. And, she's like, you know, come on in the kitchen. And, she says, I saw Layla surveying the scene in the dining room. When she saw the candles, she looked right at me. Pretty fancy, she said. What's going on? And of course he's like, oh, I'm just showing off my cooking skills, and like, who knew she'd break my heart and order pizza and blah blah. And so Layla asks again, she's like, where's your mom again? And of course Sydney fills her in that they're gone, and Layla asks, all weekend? And she's so then Ames of course is weird and he's like, oh, don't get, you know, any ideas about parties, like that's what I'm here for, like to prevent that from happening. And of course Sydney's like, yeah, we're not trying to do any of that. And so he's like, oh, you guys, you know, now that you're here, do you want any dinner or drinks? Non-alcoholic, of course, like house rules, you know, trying to seem all like, meh. Ugh. And so Mac gets, you know, obviously another order in on the screen. And he's like, I should get going. And so then again, the most gross, disgusting thing Ames says, he goes, lucky me, spending the evening with two lovely ladies. Ah! I would have been like, no. So she says, in response, Mac just looked at him, his expression flat and unsmiling. After a beat, he said to Layla, you left your stuff in the truck. Like, he's so good. Like, they're both so good at clocking everything. And he's like, come the fuck with me outside. And so they're trying to get Sydney out there to probably ask her what's going on. And like, hey, do you feel comfortable? Do we need to get you out of here? Yada, yada, yada. And of course, Ames gets it to where, like, her alone. And so only Layla can go out to the truck. And, So Ames kind of tells her, like, you know, when your mom calls, you have to tell her about this. Again, like, she's the one who's doing anything wrong here. And it's like, no, literally, it's like girl code. She, like, has a friend over and to save her from a creepy guy. We've all, you know, been there. Like, when you're, like, out at a bar or a club and, like, somewhere or whatever, and you're like, my friend, gotta go. Even if you've never met the person, you know. But, of course, every woman in America is, like, knows what that is. And it's like, girl! And welcomes Ian. It's like, sorry, creeper guy. Yeah, no, I understand. So anyways, mm-hmm. So she was like, okay. So he goes, don't worry. I'll spin it the best I can. You just owe me. No, sir. Mm-hmm. She doesn't owe you anything. And he's just, like, so grooming her in a sense. Like he's doing her some favors. And it's like, oh, no, like, I'm cool. And we're cool with this. But, like, your mom might be cool with it. So you're going to owe me. And I'm like, oh, no. That is... Mm-hmm. So she says, you know, I said nothing to this. Max trucked Ian backing down the driveway. When he reached the road, his headlight swept across the window, catching me in the sudden glow. He sat there for a bit, another, then slowly he drove away, which, again, I like that Max, like, keeping an eye on the situation.
Yeah.
So then Layla comes back in. They now have made it upstairs. And, of course, Layla immediately is like, what the hell is the deal with that guy? And so... we learned something that makes it even worse. So anywho, Cindy kind of has to explain the situation, and she's like, yeah, I'm, like, kind of creeped out by him, and that's kind of, like, why you're here. And this is where we learn that they don't have any locks on their doors, so she literally wouldn't even be able to lock the door to get away from him, because now her parents are into knocks, not locks, which, again, I understand, blah, blah, blah. But, again, why punish your other kid who has never shown any reason why you would need to do that?
Right.
So she explains that he creeps her out. And of course, again, Layla, who's clocked this from the first time she ever saw them, was like, of course he does. He's creepy. And she's like, he's with you that day, right? In the courthouse. And she's like, yeah, he tends to stick pretty close. And of course, like any reasonable person would, Layla's like, what the heck does your mom say about all this? This creeper, McCreeper. And of course, Cindy's like, oh, she loves him. It's like he's filled the hole my brother left, or at least made it less empty. And so then, of course, Layla's next question is, what about your dad? And she says, he doesn't notice much of anything when it comes to me, which, just like, wow, that's just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
She's probably right, but it's just, it's very sad.
It's very sad.
And so she said, I never thought this before, actually, but as soon as I said it, I realized it was true. My mom's distraction was new, a result of cause and effect. My dad's had always been there. Before Peyton, it was work. Before work, who knew? Which just, like, punch to the gut.
Yikes, yeah.
So again, Layla's kind of checking in, and she's like, hey, this situation sucks. Is he going to be here all weekend? Like, we got to, you know, work this out. And she's like, well, I was supposed to go over to a different friend's, but they got the stomach bug, and then his girlfriend was supposed to be here, and she's not there. And so... Layla, of course, clocks him, and she's like, I'm sure he wasn't exactly disappointed if he even invited her in the first place.
Exactly. And
so it's like, yeah, uh-huh. So she, again, just reiterates, like, you know, she's so happy that she came. She gives her the grand tour. Oh, my God, this next scene is freaking fantastic.
It makes me scream.
Obsessed. Oh, my God. So they do the grand tour, and she says, like, oh, she's amazed. You know, she shows her the war room. Your mom's so organized. She shows her downstairs, which has the gym. But what really impresses her is the little recording studio, which, again, they put in for a perfect little Peyton, who they're obsessed with. And they give no absolute mind to their daughter, and it's bullshit. But anywho, so she's like, oh, it's like this little recording studio. So, again, we know Layla, and we know that she and her family are very talented musically. And of course, again, she immediately goes into the studio and knows that it's a Les Paul standard. And she's like, wow, which, again, very nice guitar, very expensive. So Ames, who's being a creep, of course, follows them down there. And again, he's over here making meat sauce, trying to be impressive. We are not impressed. Then the next thing he does, of course, is go downstairs. And this is another thing where it's like, if you are familiar with the Descent verse, you are like, oh, I see what she did there. And it's very clever. But anywho, they're down there, and he, of course, is trying to be a creeper, and he's like, I'll show you some chords, because he thinks he's, like, being an impressive older guy, and he's gonna, like, mansplain something to these little girly pops who have little lady brains. And so, of course, Layla's like, I'm okay. And she says, it was, you know, said in more of, like, a back-off tone. And so Ames is kind of like, oh, okay. And then he, like, tries to regroup. And so he's like, oh, you know, need some tuning. but it'll do for a quick lesson. And he's over there like showing the chords. And so Cindy says like she watched as he demonstrated, because again, it's like you just kind of have to, sometimes you just have to deal with a man mansplaining to you. And Layla does not. Like, she is giving zero fucks about this. And I love that for her. So he starts playing Stairway to Heaven. And again, if you're familiar with Sarah Dessen's novels, you know from such classics like Just Listen, that Stairway to Heaven is like the basic. Like, oh, when you say you're a fan of your favorite song, Stairway to Heaven, like Owen does not like Stairway to Heaven and Just Listen. So I love that she made Ames play that song, because I was like, that's fan-fucking-tastic, because we already know, like, we already have a preconceived notion of how Sarah Dessen views people that like that song, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, she says one of the first songs that Payne had learned in rehab, and then she says, it couldn't get, when I didn't think it could any more awkward, he began to sing. Oh, this is the scene from Barbie.
I know. But like a million times worse.
A million times worse. They all really think that this is like cute, and it ain't. It ain't it, guys. Let me tell you. And she's like, his eyes shut so fully as he teetered over the words of the first two lines. Sadly, we had to watch. I love that line. Sadly, we had to watch. Fantastic. So she says, you know, he's like awkwardly playing, whatever. Then Layla also began to play, first quietly, but as she kept on, it grew louder, her fingers moving faster. I didn't realize what was happening until she was suddenly playing right along with him. But she wasn't just picking it out like he'd been. Clearly, she knew what she was doing. Oh, when you try to mansplain and she's better at it than you are. Fan-fucking-tastic. Go off, queen.
Layla.
Slay. Go, Layla. So she starts playing, she's singing, and she's like, Cindy's like, oh my God, like, if Rosie is the talent, like, I can't imagine what she must be opera level, because Layla is phenomenal. Like, her voice is so pretty. She is so good at this. And so she's like, wow, like, you're amazing. And Ames, of course, is like embarrassed, and he's like, you're pretty good. And again, I love Layla here. It's Stairway to Heaven. Everyone can play that. Oh my God. Savage. I love her. Honestly, what an iconic scene. And so she's just like, all right, ready for pizza? I am. After she's absolutely demolished this little boy who thought he could teach them something. Then the night, the way Ames intended, with his gross ass over buttered popcorn and movies. She says that he sits on the couch, like, in a way that you basically would be forced to sit next to them. And Layla's just like sitting on the floor, nope, right out of that. And she's like, come here, Sydney. Fan-fucking-tastic. Love this girl, truly. And they watch romantic comedies. Layla picks, she's seen them both, of course, because she's conscious. And so she tells them to pick the, like, funnier of them. She brought her own yum-yums. She brought a root beer for our girl, Sydney.
So cute.
Sisterhood, y'all. I love it. And then she, like, trying to kind of be nice, extends one to Ames. And he's like, I don't like hard candy. And I was like, okay, whatever. So then, of course, Sydney, which again is like, we've all been there, like, feels kind of bad. And it's like, well, let me take a handful of disgusting popcorn. I'm like, no, don't feel bad. He's gross. No. He's a creeper. Yeah. Don't take his popcorn. Just then, our girl Sydney's mom, good old Julie, calls. Of course, she calls Ames and not her own teenage daughter. And I'm like, why didn't she just call him? Whatever. So she calls to check in. And of course, he puts her on speakerphone because he, like, knows that, like, he, like, doesn't want her to, like, be able to, like, I don't know, go off with the phone and say anything. Like, oh, I feel creeped out because this man is creepy. So she asks, you know, they kind of have, like, polite small talk. And then she finally asks, is Sydney there? And she's like, yeah, I'm here. And then, and this is where at least, you know, they're like, oh, Marla's not there. And of course she, like, buys it hook, line, and sinker. Poor thing. What's really going around the stomach bug? Okay, whatever. So anywho, this is where Layla, again, just absolutely coming in clutch, just, like, makes an audible coughing noise so that it has to be established that she is there. And then this, of course, is where her mom is like, who is that, Sydney? And Layla kind of looks ahead like, yeah, tell her. And so she's like, oh, you know, the friend I told you about, she came over with pizza. And Layla's like, hey, so nice to meet you. You know, chimes right on in. And so she's like, oh, I didn't realize, you know, that, like, you had someone over. And Layla lays it on thick. She's like, yeah, they're remodeling. They're painting. They put carpet in. Combined, the fumes are awful. She's really saving me here, being here. And so Ames is like, oh, don't worry, Julie. I'm going to make sure she doesn't stay over too late. We don't want Sydney up too late, you know, whatever. And Layla's like, oh, yeah, I mean, it's been like an hour since they did it, so I'll probably be fine. And of course, Denny's mom is like, well, that's, you know, the toxins, and that's, you know, not good. And she's like, yeah, you know, and they're doing it all weekend, so. And she's like, well, so she asked Denny, but take me off speaker. And she's like, you know, I don't feel comfortable with this girl going home. And is there nowhere else she could stay? And she's like, oh, all the other rooms are taken in her house, you know. And so she's like, I really think I would feel better if she, you know, if she is a good friend, like you say she is, that she stay with you. And we've got the, you know, get the blankets, get the, roll out the, what you call it, air mattress, and she should stay. And so, of course, Sydney is relieved. And she's like, really, like, thank you so much, mom. Like, that would be so awesome of you. And so, of course, then she calls out to Layla, like, oh, is it okay if, you know, you stay for the weekend? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, oh, are you sure? She doesn't have to ask her. And she's like, my mom, you know, the new med, she's already asleep, which honestly, like, her parents wouldn't care. They're good people. And so then, of course, she's like, oh, you know, her mom has MS. And she's like, oh, that's just so horrible. Okay, well, you know, to make sure she has everything she needs, whatever. And of course, you can tell Ames is just like fuming because he's, you know, not getting what he wants. And so she's like, oh, my God, like, thank you so much, you know, obviously to Layla for thinking that to her. And I love this little exchange they have because they're like totally talking in code. And she's like, Layla's like, this movie's really good, isn't it? And so she's like, I looked at her. She was watching me, not the TV, and smiling wide. And she's like, so Cindy says, it's great. I think it might be my favorite. And I was like, oh, my God, they're so great. So, yeah, so she gets to stay, which thank God, because, and she sets her up on the floor, the air mattress. She says, after the lights were off, we walked for a little while, and at some point I drifted off. When I next woke up, it was 2 a.m. When I rolled over to check on Layla, she wasn't there. Confused, I sat up on my elbow and rubbed my eyes, then spotted her. She moved her bed so it rested against the closed but unlocked door and was curled up there, keeping watch, keeping safe. I slept better than I had in months. And I was like, oh, I love beautiful.
That. I love that.
That is sisterhood.
That is sisterhood. I also love that when Layla is like telling this fake story about like how she can't sleep in her house, her and Ames are like shooting daggers at each other. Yeah. They're like, mm-hmm. She's like, I know what you're doing here and I'm not fucking letting it happen.
We're not doing that. We're not playing that game, buddy.
I love
a queen. She is like, if her and Deb wanted to rule the world, I would allow it. Deb, Layla, 2028.
Yes. Go, yes.
I love them. I hate Ames. I think he's disgusting, but I love Layla. And I love that, like, she was ready. She came. She was ready to be at that. She put Ames in his place twice. We love that for her. What a queen. And yeah, that'd be the chapters. Any finishing thoughts? And this was a little lengthy one, but again, y'all, it's been a minute since we got to chat. There's a new Reputation bodysuit. Juicy chapters. We'll be back on Thursday for Halloween Town for Halloween. Appropriate.
Yes.
We love a theme. And yeah, next Tuesday, as you said at the top of the episode, we're going to be back light, fluffy. We can't be reading this depressing novel with an election going on. So If you are busy checking the election results and need a small break from that, you can come listen to our light and fluffy episode and then go back to panicking about the state of the world. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Go vote. Okay.
Yeah. Vote. And then we will all come together as a group and cry because, Oh my God, I am so stressed. But anyway, it's fine.
Hopefully tears of joy. I hope. God, I pray. But yeah, it's fine.
I'm terrified of the future. But cool. Anyway. Oh, Bethany's gone. So we are going to go now. We love you. Take care of yourselves, especially this week and next week. And we love you. Okay, bye.